So anyways, Jeff would like to come to the meeting today or this week, but unfortunately he has duties with his beloved soil fertility class, so he's back teaching class. So, well, me and the rest of the gang are down here having a little fun. So anyways, to kind of introduce the topic, for years and years, and of course this has gone on for 1,000 years, we do it now with manure spreaders and truck boxes and that. Beef cattle operations have traditionally removed cattle manure from their pens and whatnot and simply broadcast or broadcast and incorporate on pasture or cultivated fields, depending on what the system is. So a number of years ago, Jeff got working with liquid swine manure or slurry, and we started doing subsurface injection with that. So similar to liquid hog manure injection, solid cattle manure, in what we call injection, is basically applied with or is injected or put into a band with a coulter opener and then covered over behind the injection unit. And we saw with the application of swine manure some very, very good agronomic crop yield results in that and soil results in that with subsurface injection in that. And certainly saw a lot of major decrease in volatilization and runoff and things like that. So we decided to do some work with solid cattle manure and teamed up with the folks at Prairie Agriculture Machinery Institute, or PAMI, and built this unit here, which I'm going to show you here in just a minute here, and decided to take a look at solid cattle manure injection and just see if what the effects would be on certainly on crop yield and on soil nutrients if we subsurface placed our manure in a band. So essentially the objective would in this study was to investigate the effect of placement method on solid cattle beef manure on crop yield and soil extractable nutrients. So our study location is in Western Canada. It's in the province of Saskatchewan, and it's at Dixon, Saskatchewan, which is about an hour's drive east of Saskatoon. So we're located in what we call East Central Saskatchewan. So for those of you who are a little bit geographically challenged, Saskatchewan lies just above Montana and North Dakota. At that site there, we are located in the what we call the black soil zone. It is a grassland soil, so it's a Chernozem soil or a mollisol according to the U.S. taxonomy system. Pretty neutral pH, about 7.1 pH, very low salinity levels. So we set up our study here in the spring of 2007, continued it for 3 years. It's set up as a randomized complete block design, and it's replicated 4 times. So we applied our cattle manure using 3 different application methods, broadcast alone, broadcast and incorporate, and subsurface injection or banding, as you would please. We also decided to do a comparison, too, with our subsurface banding or injection by adding some urea with that as well, too. We had 3 different rates for each of our placement methods. So we had 9, 18, and 27 tons per hectare, and that corresponds to about 20, 40, and 50 tons per acre of actual manure applied. So here's our contraption, our machine that PAMI built for us. And you see in the lower right-hand corner here, the manure is being kind of sort of, it's actually augered out. This is air seeder hose here that they're using here. And the manure is dropped down from the back of that holding tank there. And it's sort of corkscrewed out or augered out. And the coulter opens it up, and then it's then covered over after that. Technically challenging, to say the least. So we've had a lot of headaches in that, and there was a lot of teething problems with it, and we're still working on it. So I'll turn first. I'm going to present a few crop results, and then we'll look at some of the soil results here. So first year of the study, we had oats. Second year, we had canola, and the third year, we had oats again. The choice of crop is usually up to the cooperator in that, so we don't it's part of his rotation in that, so we had to kind of sort of fit this in where in one of his fields there that he agreed to work on. So I've got it set up here, so I've got the controls. We also do it to take care of the sort of the tillage effect that could occur because of the tillage that's going on. As you're applying the manure, we do what we call a CD or a control disturbed treatment along with our plain old control. And then we have our broadcast and incorporate, 3 rates, 9, 18, and 27 tons per hectare. Broadcast injection plus urea, and then just compared to just a plain urea. So. Our first year of the study here, we basically saw no difference at all in terms of placement effect or in rate, except for our broadcast 3X. And we attributed that to the fact that once we got into June there, It was turned into a very hot, very dry late spring, early summer, and we figured that or hypothesized that that high rate of manure that was laid out on the ground there helped to kind of sort of reduce the amount of evapotranspiration that was going on, so our crop was able to access a little bit more moisture in that, and so it ended up with a little bit more yield. But our yields here ran basically around that 4,500 kilograms per hectare. We did see a bit of a significant difference over just our control yields as well. Turning to the next year, we had canola in that next year. Where we see a major difference here was in our injected with urea application, and certainly saw a difference between just that and just the urea alone. So the addition of the manure and that probably helped to enhance the crop to take up with some of the nutrients that are contained in the manure, helped it to take up maybe a little bit more nitrogen that was contained in the urea, and that we got a little bit more yield there for the canola. Certainly canola is a little bit better crop at taking up nitrogen from the ground than oats is. And final year of the study here, we're back to oats again. Again, just we're starting to see maybe a little bit of a stepwise effect here with our broadcast and incorporate treatments here in terms of rate. In terms of placement method here, we're not seeing any differences at all significantly in placement methods between our three methods. So to kind of sort of summarize that there, did see a little bit of a significant yield of yolk in 2000 and 2009 compared to our control treatments. Our greatest yield effect was in 2008 with our canola crop here with a combination of the urea and the manure applied on. So there was kind of sort of that benefit there of providing the nutrients that are in the cattle manure with the urea in, helping to enhance that yield there. Broadcast 3X rate achieved the whole was overall highest yield in 2000, probably due to that that more of that surface organic matter covering there kind of sort of helped reduce the evapotranspiration during that hot summer. Essentially, looking at the placement method, we didn't really see any differences at all between our three different placement methods there. So, and of course, our manure too is there's probably it's a very, very low amount of ammonium nitrogen that's actually contained within the manure in that compared to the amount of phosphorus. And I'll get to that here in just a minute and talk about more about phosphorus. Grain nitrogen, I've got oats here in the orange and in the green for 07 and 09, and I've got canola in the pink there. And just like we saw with, if you take a look at the canola there in the second year, and certainly with our injected with our urea, our canola has taken up more nitrogen in that injected with the urea combination. So our combination there of the injected produce the highest grain end concentration plus the highest yield. So our grain end concentrations in the 2009 oat crop and subsurface injected, probably fairly similar to the broadcast alone and the broadcast and incorporated placement methods. And our subsurface injection here is probably starting to maybe provide a little bit of a benefit here, enhancing some of the crop uptake and a recovery band, especially in canola crops and that. So if we could have done one more year with an oilseed like canola, then perhaps we would have seen maybe some more differences in that. It takes a little bit of time, too, for that organic matter to be broken down in that. And because there is a very, very low amount of monocle in that cattle manure, we're probably it's going to take a few years in that before we start to see maybe some any kind of significant benefit there. So turning now to our soil results here. Our soil extractable, 2 molar KCl nitrogen. This is just in the 0 to 15 centimeter depth in our 3 years of our study here. So I've got 07 in blue, 08 in green, and 09 in red here. Very, very low soil extractable in here. We're only looking at probably on most part here around kind of around that 10 kilograms per hectare part. So very, very low amount of N. A little bit more in the extractable end here. We're starting to reach maybe closer to 15 kilograms. With our injected manure plus our urea rate compared to just the urea alone. Where we're seeing the real story here is in our soil extractable phosphorus. And as I pointed out earlier, there's quite a bit of phosphorus that is in cattle manure. And this is one thing that shows the story here when you add excessive amounts of manure. And that's why we went to these higher rates, our 3X rate here, which is a very excessive amount. We're starting to see here by the third year of the study here that our extractable N here is really jumping up here. And we're looking at anywhere from 150 to probably 2 and a quarter kilograms per hectare of extractable phosphate phosphorus here. So we're seeing a lot of phosphorus here. In terms of placement methods here and that, we're seeing higher rates all throughout the three different placement methods here, depending on the rate and depending on that, the placement method and that, but that's all looking very high. So as we increase the rate, depending on the method, it's all still going up quite high. So residual soil nitrogen levels pretty fairly low, like I say, around that 10 to 12 kilogram per hectare mark. No differences amongst the placement methods. Our soil extractable P very significantly increased by the addition of soil cattle manure, but no effect, again, on different placement methods. And certainly by the second year, we're looking at probably at least 150 kilograms of P per hectare in our very high 27 tons per hectare rates. And I think by the end of the third year, I think we measured, I think it was probably close to 250 kilograms of P per hectare rates. So kind of sort of to conclude this study and bring it all home here, certainly crop yield response to banning of cattle manure, very similar to the broadcast alone and broadcast incorporated methods of placement. Our grain N levels increased when we added urea fertilizer with the manure, and so probably that manure helped to enhance maybe a little bit more uptake of N in that, and we saw that in our grain nitrogen, especially in our canola crop. And like I say, if we could have had another year of the study, but we only had funding for 3 years, so we could have maybe looked at that further in that and seen if that would have again happened had we been able to put on another oil seed like canola or flax perhaps. By 2009, the end of the study, we had probably a little bit of sufficient mineralization of some of the accumulated organic N that was in the manure, and this was occurring at some of our higher rates, so our 18 and our 27 tons per hectare rates to meet our crop requirements. The application of solid cattle manure at the high rates certainly drastically and significantly increased our soil extractable P. So again, that's a good point that we like to show to producers, that when you excessively pile this manure on, you're going to get very, very high levels of phosphorus accumulated in your soil, and that could spell a problem later on for runoff. Saskatchewan is actually a fairly dry province, except for last year. We had a lot of rain in that. Our significant moisture event every year is usually spring snow melt in that. Next door to us in Manitoba, they are usually a very wet province, and this is actually quite a high problem there. So finally, just to bring it all home here, to go back to our objective, our subsurface banding of phosphorus basically appeared to have very little effect on the actual amount of extractable P. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge our funding from SAS Ministry of Agriculture, the Ag Development Fund, our help in the field, our technician, Corey Fattiger, and Wayne Stock at PAMI. And with that, I guess we have time for maybe one question.
We have time for one question.
Yes, sir.
What's your sampling protocol for the injection treatment? Does it usually end up with a hot bed and then that spreads out?
Yeah. With the sampling, our plots are 10 foot by 20 foot. And so we will go into the plot. We generally go into the middle of the plot. And we will basically take three cores, different spots, within that middle of that plot, and then we'll bulk.